Good afternoon. My name is Matan Zongweli, Deputy CEO for Cartila. Thank you very much for those investments. On my books, this morning we've been interacting with ELRC and SAFE and the Fed and Situation Mutual April. Without comparing the levels of importance in Maluma, but what I'm going to say is that one of the important entities that we've been looking forward to interact with, knowing the role that you are playing in our education, knowing the role that you are playing in the country. There's so much that I want to hear from your presentation, and I promise you this committee has gone through all the documents that you have sent us. We are so willing and eager to hear what it is that you are going to say, but at the same time, we are ready to interact with you. So whatever you say, please the same to the point. But looking at your mandate, really, we are one of the important entities that you have. We are looking at the issues of MDP that 2 years, those 2 years of the that has been talking about, we need to hear what is the town expecting of them. We need to hear that we've got challenges in math and science as a country. What are the things that you're doing? We need to hear how do you advise the minister, as you know, that is one of your goals that we need to do. Your involvement in things like ANA, we know quality of assessment as we go out there, school days, the cars, those are the things that we need to hear. What is it that you are doing to improve on those things? So, really, important to hear from you. And we're very happy that the department is here with you in their numbers. And for sure, there are questions that should also be going in to them, because they must be ready to come in and interact with us, even though we'll be there with listening to your presentation. So what I'm saying is, there's a lot that we need to hear from you, even looking at the thickness of the information, it means you're still going to hear and listen to you. But even though I won't read as much of the time, we are now 2:12, you've got an hour to do your presentation, then the next hour that's when you can type in the message. Can I hand over then to you, Chairperson? But otherwise, on behalf of the committee, then we are congratulating to you. We hope and believe that as the new chair of my business of the board, we are going to the great relationship that we enjoy dealing with the children and the Catholic Church. So we wish you the best in the years that is still for you, that also the congratulations.
Thank you very much. I just want to say, I don't think I
will be very brief, just by way of introduction, to say that I am honored to have been appointed by the Minister to serve as Chairperson of Council. I have to admit that it's not as totally unfamiliar to me that I had previously, 4 years, been the Chairperson of Council. I then, of course, had a stint with media, which for personal reasons I could not continue. But essentially, this is the first time that I'm back in the stream of things again, so I'm very honored. I do realize the role, as the Honorable Chair said, Director Mother Chivay is a quality council, one of two. And as its name suggests, as a shepherd, it is the custodian of the animal. Just as a shepherd, if the shepherd loses the sheep, the assets of the community is lost. And if we do not guard quality in education, then we have lost in education. So it's a very important role that Umaguchi plays. And fortunately, there are two things that I would like to mention that it has to lean on. One is a history that goes back to 1910. the history of the Joint Matriculation Board, Tassert, which eventually became Malusi, is a history that one thing that remains consistent with that is its way of standardizing results. Of course, when we talk about quality assurance, I know the media puts a lot of emphasis on standardization, but quality assurance involves much more than that. And so the other thing that we have is institutional memory of people from the CEO, the CEO, the COO, the CFO, carry with them institutional memory that gives me the confidence to share this and that the organization is with them. Malusi is a unique institution. It isn't another Malusi, so knowledge management is very important in the organization to ensure that we fulfill our mandate. As I said, standardization is only one way of quality assurance. It's also monitoring, moderation, and accreditation, verification. Lots of things. Now, I think the last thing I want to say is that people associate Umalusi only with examination, but in fact, its mandate is broader than that. Its mandate involves also quality assurance of qualifications and training. Chairperson, with that, Honorable Chair, I would like to hand over to the CEO who will be trying to get us to the
Thank you very much, Professor Holmink, Honorable Chairperson Mejina, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, thanks for the opportunity to present Umalusi's budget. Chairperson, I give congratulations also proper from my side for both you and the committee members for attending this important committee. My presentation is going to focus on the following. I'll be looking at 2008. I'll be looking at the vision, mission, goals, and key results areas. And then we have the chief financial officer doing the budget review and expenditure and the budget 2014-2015. And the COO will also be doing a presentation on the operations of the organization. And then we get to the conclusion. So that's on the first slide, the next one. We say Umalusi's mandate as a quality council is to develop and manage a staff framework of qualifications for general and fair education and training. Now, we're referring here to a staff framework. This means that there are other staff frameworks, and those are the staff framework of the universities and the staff framework of the students, people who study in the world of work. But the universities is to be Council on Higher Education, which is a sister organization in the entry of National Qualifications Program, National Qualifications Framework 7. We look as Umalusi at levels 1 to 4, and the white paper that was released by Minister Baker in January is giving us some space at level 5, which we have not really explored. And the Council of Higher Education looks at levels 5 to 10. Those would be your bachelor's degrees, your diplomas, your honors degrees, your master's and your PhDs, levels 5 to 10. And the GCO, Quality Council for Trades and Occupations in the NCA space, looked at levels 1 to 8 of qualifications that are obtained in the world of work. So the three bodies constitute the National Qualifications Framework. There is another body that is very important also, that is the South African Qualifications Authority, SAQA, which has a coordinating role and an apex body to coordinate the three quality councils that I mentioned to show that is articulation, there is coordination, there is cooperation between them. So what we do as well is that our staff framework of quality that moves from levels 1 to 4 has to be developed and managed. In other words, there's no qualification that can come onto our staff framework of qualification without it being quality assured in terms of qualification and the curriculum. Also, we develop and quality assure qualifications and curriculum in the manner that I just narrated. We look at the course content, we look at the credits, and we say this qualification is right at level 1, we are happy with the qualification. We register it with the South African Qualifications Authority. We can't just show assessment at exit point. Assessment happens throughout the school system, but we focus only on the exit point. What do we mean by partially assuring assessment at exit point? The different assessment bodies that we have in the country for our sector in the education system will certificate us. And here I'm referring to the Department of Basic Education, I'm referring to the Department of Higher Education and Training, I'm referring to the IED, Independent Education Board, and also the new kid on the block, Sakai, South African Comprehensive Assessment Institute. Those certificate us. And those internally moderated papers, they are all internal moderators, to check that the paper follows the curriculum assessment policy statement, the CAPS, curriculum assessment policy statement, and to check that the papers that you said according to the subject assessment guidelines, the CAPS. Then they bring the paper to Mandusi, where we externally moderate until we are satisfied that they meet the requirement of the CAPS, assessment guidelines, and the CAPS, curriculum and assessment policy statement. Then we give our paper approval for the paper decision. And I want to emphasize only at exit point. We want to satisfy that assessment is written the right way in terms of how the regulations were written, whether they were written according to policy throughout the country. Once we had that matching assessment according to the prescribed standards, and once we have standardized the results, the Chairperson of Council is able to pronounce on the approval of the results for them to be used for the different assessment bodies that I mentioned. And one that exercise is completed, the minister has announced around April, May, we then issue duties for learners who have completed their qualifications successfully. So we also certificate their achievement. We also, in our quality assurance role, look at the provision of education by accrediting a different rules and AML language, like giving a license to private providers of education and training to operate, and for different independent assessment bodies to operate. By private providers of education and training, I'm referring to schools that are independent. I'm referring to the FC colleges that are independent and the other teaching centers that are independent. Now, members could ask why are they those that are independent only, the private ones. The public schools, FC colleges and other centers are deemed accredited because they've got an inspection rate, they've got standards by itself. So they don't need accreditation numbers, only accredited by this one. Even the assessment bodies that are private are the only ones that we evaluate and ultimately accredit. The IEB, Independent Examination Board, and SACAI that I mentioned earlier on. So it's only for independent ones that we do that. So that is our quality assurance role. We conduct research related to the sample number of qualifications. In terms of the qualifications that we offer, and their teachers at the right level, how do they compare with the qualifications, similar qualifications offered in other countries? That's what we do. So there's a lot of research we're heading into Magnusi in relation to that framework of qualifications. We advise the two ministers of education on matters related to the framework of qualifications. We advise Minister Limane and we advise Minister Angel Serhan. I need to indicate that unlike all other bodies that I mentioned, someone, Council on Higher Education, Quality Council for Trades and Occupations, Magnusi is related to the two departments of education. We struggle with both these departments. This happened after the 2009 elections when the Ministry of Education was split into two. And the President then issued a presidential proclamation to indicate how the bodies that belong to a number of departments are going to operate. The presidential proclamation says, with regards to Magnus, that in terms of the national education framework, we report the Department of Qualification and Training. Everything that has to do with the staff framework of qualification, we, as Umaru, together with staff, Council on Higher Education, CAG, Policy Council for Trade and Occupation, GCO, we own a collective report from the NQF to the Minister of Education and Training. The different terms when it comes to our strategic plans, our annual reports, and our budget. the rest of the other contractors and staff are very, very good in this organization training. And Umalusi alone reports to the Ministry of Education. We alone. That's why we are reporting to this committee. Further, in terms of us and the services that we offer, we service both departments. We service the Department of Higher Education training in terms of the national CTA vocational. We service them in terms of the all the other qualifications that we the Department of Higher Education training. When it comes to the popular qualifications that we have, our magic national CTA, we service the Department of Basic Education in terms of our quality assurance role that I took you through earlier on today. We moderate, we give approval, we monitor the rights of the examination, we look at the market, we save the post button, up to the approval point, and up to the certification point. So that's how we reach the two departments. But maybe just to talk quickly about some vision and mission. We want to be Council, as Professor Wong has indicated, the cornerstone on which the country's educational aspirations and standards are anchored and built. And as far as the Council and staff are committed to ongoing improvements in standards and quality in general and in education and trade, we are aware that standards are dynamic, they are not static. We have to continuously be innovative in terms of how we do quality assurance and in terms of how we understand. That's why we have such units as we must do. This is in order to ensure issue that are sustainable certificates that have currency, certificates that can be respected by the employers, by the other institutions of learning, higher education institutions of the parents, and by the broader community of South Africa. We do this through our leadership and expert knowledge. We develop and secure standards through the following processes. Some of the processes I said too, end on quality assurance, qualifications, and careers. In other words, there's no qualification that can come on our staff without it being quite assured. Confirming that the assessment is fair for all learners in terms of their capability, that the assessment is fair, it tells what it intends to test, and that it is reliable. It is reliable from 1 year to other. We don't want standards that fluctuate from 1 year to other. We want to assure provision of education and training and assessment provided. The idea is that we quality assure them, we quality assure also independent schools and the independent refugee colleges as adult centers. We count our work. Whatever we say, we count our work in research to ensure that we have got informed positions and approaches. We don't just have anything, any approach in terms of saying standards. We do research first, and whatever we do is informed by that research. In terms of our goals at Shepperton, we promote quality and international competitive standards for the general fair education and training staff framework. What we do is that we do from time to time international benchmarks. Some qualifications that are comparable in other countries. And we've done a lot of research. You go to our site, you find the research report and findings and recommendations on the different qualifications that we have. We compared recently the national certificate with the Cambridge International Examinations, International Baccalaureate, actually to compare the African region, also in our target region, we took Namibia as a name. Once we are to compare with countries that are far away, we need to compare also with one country that is close by. So we do benchmark. We can then improve educational standards through development and evaluation of qualifications and curriculum, assess quality assessment of assessment, accreditation of private providers for education and training of department. And we continuously develop in-depth knowledge and expertise in this area through rigorous research. We've got a research program that reports to Quality Council. The research program is made up of research professors from different universities in our country to assist to manage to craft its research, to critique its research, and to build our capacity as an organization. So we've got such a program and it shows that our research is rigorous. We report on the quality of education and training defects in our mandate. Every year, at the end of each examination, we provide the minister with a full report on how the examination were conducted. From the point where the papers were set up to the point of standardization, we report to the minister. We issue appropriate and credible certificates of learner achievement in terms of specific qualifications on our framework of qualifications. appropriate, that is the level of the MPF, and they have two categories, so that they have currency. And also have the security issues that we have on our TV, so that we don't have anybody, because you are educated, able to gain employment or gain access to higher education institutions. We provide reliable and credible leadership and guidance in standard setting and quality assurance. We rely on the expertise of our staff, we rely on the expertise of people at higher education institutions, professors in the fields of learning. We ensure through our chief financial officer the financial efficiency and sustainability of the organization by adhering to the Public Finance Management Act. That means we should be economic, efficient, and effective in the utilization of the resources of government. So we've got our CFO who's taking care of that. We also determine expectations and appropriately respond to these within the parameters of human resource management. We are forever watching the initiation phase to check where the country is going, to check where the community does not play, so that we strengthen our policy governance processes. The second key results like I indicated already, establishing and maintaining a system to develop, evaluate, and certify qualifications and curriculum at aspects. We keep improving and maintaining the system of quality assurance of our assessment through the moderation process, through the monitoring process, and ultimately to standardization. I've spoken about evaluation and accreditation of private providers, and indicated them there in the presentation, schools, colleges, and other centers, as well as private assessment bodies. We do research. We show good corporate governance and management of the office of the chief executive officer. We ensure, as a modern institution, that we have up-to-date information technology equipment and systems. So they're able to give results. So that's what we're able to also do our operations in terms of finances, in terms of human resources, and in terms of the quality assurance of examination. We also have a strong finance, human resources, and administrative support systems that we continuously maintain and improve. And our finance and HR systems, together with administration, fall under the chief financial officer. Chairman, I want to pause and hand over to Mr. Jeremy Thomas, our chief financial officer, to go on with the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Rafferty. Very honorable chairperson and members. If we look at the 17 result areas, you will note that areas 5 and 7, ensuring good corporate governance, ensuring IT systems, finance, HR, and administrative support, those are all aspects which fall under the corporate services division, which I head at Malusi. And so I will take you through the executive summary as far as our financial statement is concerned, at the end of the last financial year, we ended at the 31st of March. These are unaudited information. We are in the process of finalizing our audit as it stands, and I am again, maybe I should not say it right now, but we are quite pleased with the audit as it is going on. We ended the financial year with a net surplus of 19 million. 109% of our budgeted revenue was recognized from operations, and 109% as a result of certification income, which was supposed to be received in the previous year, which flowed over into the new financial year, and that we were able to collect a little bit more than what we anticipated. We again were thanks once we saw the Department of Basic Education. Thank for always being on time with the grant. We use the grant that never be late, not even by one day. And it really helps us to be able to plan and to budget appropriately. We spent 92% of the budget last year, and that was due to the fact that we have a vacancy rate of 9%. So when we compare that to the national norm, 9% is not very much, but it still does affect the budget somewhat. So because we are also rolling out full accreditation only from 1st of April of this year, all of those appointments only took place during the latter part of the financial year, and therefore the money will only be spent in the new financial year. So all in all, 92% of the budget is spent. In terms of the statement of financial position, which is what formerly was known as the balance sheet, our total assets at Puma Lucy amounted to 88.9 million as at the end of March. 94% of our debt was collected during the year, and we have an internal policy that requires us to collect at least 90%. So we've been able to do a little bit better than what we anticipated. Our cash at the end of the financial year, the period, was 5 million rand, and our investments totaled 41 million, attracting a net interest rate of 5.7% per annum from the Reserve Bank and the Corporation for Public Deposits. We show a graph, which is the comparative total expenditure versus what the norm has been for the average of the last 3 years. And I will start with the first one on the left, which is quality assurance of assessment. You'll see that there is a jump where the average was just under 10 million to around 24 million, 22 million was spent on quality assurance of assessment. And this is the main area of the core function of the organization. The one looks at the quality assurance of qualifications, the monitoring of marking centers, marking, the verification of marking, the moderation of question papers, and you will see that there has been a deliberate intention to spend more in that particular area. And because that is where we ensure that quality in what we do is implemented. Also, it is important that we ensure that our sample sizes are efficient, so that when one makes a statement, the statement is credible based on the number of tests that it is done within the system. Evaluation and accreditation, there's been an increase, and that has been as a result of the implementation of the sub framework with regards to the accreditation of private providers. Private providers now have to come to Uma Lucy to be accredited to be legitimate, and I think that is a good thing for us. And we're spending more in that regard. Qualifications, curriculum and certification, that is where we look at the development of qualifications and curriculum, and there's been a steady increase in that area, and I think that is a focus area of a quality council, because that is the standard gets set. So we need to ensure that we spend more in that regard. Statistical information and research, the average is also more than what was spent over the last 3 years, which is a good thing, because Uma Lucy believes that its approach is that whatever it believes and whatever it does must be grounded upon good research. In terms of the office of the CEO and governance, you will see marginal increase over the last 3 years, which has been a good thing for us. Fortunately, one of the reasons is the fact that most of our council members and our committee members come from other parastatal or public entities, and therefore we don't have to fork out this large amount of other areas to them. And so we've been able to curb and contain costs in that regard. Here on communications, you will see that there's been slightly more than average, which I think is a good thing, as we are aware that the public is constantly having its eye upon Uma Lucy, especially when it comes to the matriculation. Information and technology is one of those expenses that government is beginning to look at with the development of the ICT frameworks, because ICT is really running ahead of CPI as we speak. And so the cost of IT hardware, the cost of IT software is just very, very expensive, but fortunately we do have governance structures in place to ensure that we get the best equipment for our money. In terms of human resources management and development, that particular unit does not include the payroll, so it basically looks at all the statutory monies that need to pay in terms of OIG, compensation and so forth, as well as human resource development. And here I want to say that Uma Lucy focuses on the development of staff. It's very, very critical that as a quality assurer that we have competent staff, and so HR development is very, very, is is an area where we are spending a little bit more than the average. Finance and supply chain management, you will see quite a large jump. That is because the bulk of the salary component is embedded within finance, and that's not only for the payment of the salaries of staff, but also for all the moderators, monitors, verifiers that we employ in the system to go and do the quality assurance work for us. We then look at the 2013-14 budget as at the end of March. Revenue budget versus actual. Our revenue streams, we collect accreditation fees, as Dr. Maxi has indicated, and we had a budget of 3.8 million. We recognize 8.2 million, which is 118% more than the norm. And that is because institutions apply for accreditation so that they can be registered with the Department of Education, so that they can actually have a license to operate. And we are grateful for that legislation now because you can see that there has been a deluge of applications to us. In terms of certification fees, 2.4 million budget, we recognized 5.2 million, and that I explained as what was supposed to have been received the previous financial year, which spilled over into the current financial year. But our grant from the Department of Basic Education, our 7.6 million, which we received for thanks and on time, in kind. We received interest income. We had only budgeted 230,000. We collected 2.4 million. And that was because of the non-use of our reserves, because we had planned for the purchasing of a building next door to Malusi House. And that happened later than expected, and therefore we could collect a little bit more interest on the reserves that we had. We had not budgeted for utilization of reserves during that year. Verification fees, 6.6 million was the budget. We collected 6.8 million. And that is where private employers come to Umadusi to have their staff matric qualifications verified by us. And there's also been a circular from the Department of Public Service and Administration that requested that all public institutions also have the qualifications of its employees verified. And so there is a constant stream of employees coming to Umadusi and requesting this particular service. Other income, which was unbudgeted, 167,000, that was revenue collected and recognized for private telephone calls. Our staff are allowed to make private calls that have an allowance of around 50 rands. And whatever goes beyond 50, they have to pay themselves. And unfortunately, our staff pay. When we sell Malusi t-shirts, Malusi regalia, they also buy it, that they are not issued free. And then with the purchase of the building next door, we had acquired 4 tenants in the building, and so there's a small amount of rental income that was included for the last 2 months of the 2013-14 financial year. All in all then, a budget of 110 million, and we recognize 120 million for the last financial year, which is 9% above budget, which quite a thumbs up. As far as expenses is concerned, honorable members, you know that the annual report will be out soon and the detail will be provided, but just so that we could see what is the difference between our national operations and our corporate services, you will see that we had a budget of 45.5 million and we spent that amount on our core business, which is extremely good for us, because at Umadusi we are constantly watching what we spend on support services. In fact, when we look at what we spend on the salary of staff, the percentage of salary expenditure against our total budget is around 48%, which we have an internal policy where we will endeavor to keep it under 50% at all costs. So for corporate services, we only spent 6% of the budget, and that was due to those the salary components for posts, which were only going to be filled later for the new financial year. Therefore, we ended the financial year with an unspent amount of 8%, and we ended the year with a surplus of 19%. The statement of financial position then as at the 31st of March, you will see our assets increased from the previous year. You will see almost by 10 million, and that is due to the acquisition of the new building. Cash and cash equivalents, that is the money that we had in reserve, as well as cash and bank, was slightly more than what was available in the previous year. Our current assets, which is made up specifically of our debtors, that is provincial education departments that owe us money for certification fees, especially when one looks at the private equity providers, 4.5 million. Our capital and reserves are 73 million, and our current liabilities are 15.7 million at the end of the financial year. If you then look at the new budget for this current financial year, we are sending a summative vision for the 2014-15 budget, and our new budget for this current financial year is 134.8 million, which is the Minister of Basic Education approved on the 27th of April, of which the grant is 107 million. And I'm going to speak to the grant situation a little bit later. And in that revised budget, the Minister also approved an amount of 10 million that Malusi may utilize to fund the operations for the current financial year due to the unavailability of sufficient funds. Umalusi then has at the end of May of this year had to submit to the Minister of Basic Education as well as the Minister of DPSA how it's going to utilize its reserves of 46.7 million. And this was our motivation. The first reason is that the Minister approved that we would use 10.8 million for the current financial year. So we have to put that one side for that purpose. Based on the acquisition of the building, which was transferred into Umalusi main in January of 2014, we need to renovate that building, make it fit for purpose. That was a cost at least around 10 million. We needed to approve for expenses from the previous financial year, 10.3 million for those creditors that we need to pay. And then we keep in a reserve of around 15.5 million for any possible litigation. Because of the area of work which we find ourselves in, that space will always require some kind of reserve for that purpose. Honourable members, I will now hand over to the Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Barbie, and she will now take you through the National Operations Budget, its outcomes, and its increases in its budget for the 2014-15 budget. Thank you.
Good afternoon, I basically oversee the work of what we call national operations, which is the core business community. It's the qualification sub-framework as well as the quality assurance work that's done on part of that framework. Our operational units are divided according to function. So we have a unit that takes care of qualification, curriculum, and certification, a unit that takes care of quality assurance assessment, a unit that takes care of evaluation and accreditation of provisions, and a research unit. We begin with the unit which looks at qualifications, curriculum, and certifications, mainly because that's what frames our work. The sub-framework of qualifications that we take care of, I just wanted to say one or two things about that. Dr. Lockwood has already said quite a lot about it. There's two basic streams in that framework. One is for schooling and one is for post-schooling. The schooling one, you know the qualification rates, the National Senior Certificate, and also the Senior Certificate, which has been, you know, fading out over a period of time, but we continue to certify. So those two qualifications are for students. other qualifications we search for are for the post-school system, colleges and adult learning. So we currently look at, we currently search for the general education training certificate, which is a literacy certificate for adults. We also quality assure the national certificate vocational in colleges, as well as the N3, which is the National Technical Certificate N3, which is a legacy qualification. In addition to that, we have proposed to offer people two new qualifications. The one is an alternative matric adult, called the NACCA, the NEC for adults. It has been registered on the N2S, and the Department of Higher Education and is currently working on the development of the curriculum for that. We also reviewed the GETC, and that is currently out for public comment. Been designed in a very similar way as an actor, so the two feed into each other. So that's basically a little bit of an overview of the qualifications that are on this platform, and that we search for that potentially search for. If you look at the actual template, you will see that the previous budget was 7.7 million, and the new budget between 2014 and 2015 is 7.89 million. It's not a huge increase here. Simply because the work has began in the previous year and is continuing in this year. It's not something new which is coming, which really pushes that. You will see that the work covers primarily the sub-framework of qualifications, developing those. That sub-framework has in fact been published. As we set standards through new qualifications and as we evaluate curriculum, I think the one thing that you should know is that we're evaluating the ECAP, which is the curriculum and assessment policy statement, and all its favors. Currently released the EDT phase documents, and we will bring a full set when we come for our annual report. We'll provide you a full set of those. We have done a lot of policy development in this area because the qualifications area was previously a separate area, and that came to us in 2009. We've done a lot of work to get our structures and processes and so on in place, and of course a lot of policy work as well around the framework and how to manage all of that. This particular unit also takes care of business certification, so that would be certification of all of those qualifications and the IT platforms that are needed for doing that, as well as transferring those results to the NLRD, which is the National Learner Database, and platform and so on. In addition to that, this unit takes care of verification of the certificates for those qualifications. So if you want to know whether a certificate is in fact authentic, it can be done through validity. We will authenticate such as and then we have a qualification standards committee of council, which takes care of all the qualifications work that the council does. Okay, so that's that unit. The next unit we're going to look at is the qualification assessment unit. Now, as the CEO mentioned, the quality assure exit point examination set by the state, which would include the Department of Higher Education and the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as some private assessment bodies, namely the IMC, Independent Examination Board, and SAKIM, which is the South African Institute of Comprehensive Assessment. They're new. They've been in the system for about 2 years in pilot. This means they will be taking the first examination now for November of this year. In quality assurance assessment, and that's the oldest function. That's the function we inherited from SAFSA in 2001. So that function is very well established and runs extremely smoothly. It's a very well-established process. We do question paper moderation for all of the qualifications. And essentially, we do 11 examinations a year. That's across all our qualifications. There's 11 different examinations that we quality assure. And for each of those examinations, we look at the question papers and look at the standard of the question paper. We look at the standard of the marking. We look at the continuous assessment that's been done in the classroom. We moderate tasks that are used for that. Not all tasks are a good sample. We moderate some of the learning portfolios as a sample to see that they sometimes stand across the various arms and centers of the assessment body. We monitor the rollout of the exam, the administration of the exam. We make sure that it happens in our teachers and things like that. We do a lot of policy work there as well, although the policies are pretty well established. And of course, there's a large number of stakeholders in the system. One has to appreciate this is a very, very large system. You have 500,000 learners write in the National Senior Certificate of Leader, and then other learners write in some of the other qualifications, but it is a very large quantum. And then it also has a committee of council for which this year is the second tier is to the Assessment Standards Committee, and that committee is primarily involved in approving the results at the end of each examination for release. The budget for last year was 24.1 million, and in this new financial year, it's 34.7 million. Now, you may say, why has it gone up by so much? The main thing that they have introduced is that we're doing we set up our monitoring around the marking process, because we realize that the marking process is a place where standards can be compromised, and it's fairly quite a hard one to manage, because it's very, very big. Must understand literally looking at 3 million papers each month in the system, it's vast. And so therefore one needs to put a bit more there. And we've been gradually increasing our intervention in terms of the market. So this year we're doing a special project around this, which is going to cost us 5.6 million. We're not just having, we do a combination of centralized moderation, where our moderators come together from UC and their student bodies, a sample of papers. Now, a sample across all subjects. And our sample is always quite small, but you said that out is actually quadruple the sample. So it's a much bigger sample than we're doing this time around. We also do on-site moderation, which means that our moderators go to the actual marking centers and pull a sample and mark those, remark those at the time of the actual marking. In addition to that, we're putting experts into the marking centers that will track a given sample of papers from inception through all marking processes. So we can see what happens at every stage of the marking process, which is quite an undertaking, the marking process, I might add. They've got quite a lot of systems in place to manage all of them. So there's a substantial amount of money going into that this year. In addition to that, we increase our external moderation of the vocational qualifications, which is the National Institute of Vocational as well as the end courses. And this year we're also having to moderate a large number of practical examination cases, if you like, which were not there before. So they're bringing a lot of those in, and that's costing us quite a lot more. So that would account for the increase in the budget there. In terms of the evaluation and accreditation unit, which essentially looks at provision, we accredit private schools, private colleges, private adult nursing centers. We've always just done provisional accreditation for many years, mainly because our criteria and policies were not approved by the minister. But these were approved in 2012, so it is now an official policy. And so what we call the full accreditation process has begun to roll out. And that has cost a lot more. It has meant that we've had to appoint quite a lot more expertise. And towards the end of last year, in the previous financial year, and now this year, appointed 14 full-time subject specialists in the schooling subset, as well as about 138 ad hoc evaluators to do these kinds of student attendance. There's about 500 schools that are being focused on, and with 500 existing schools that have provisional accreditation, with an additional 500 new applications. And these are mushrooming at a rate that we almost can't keep up with. Including 240 colleges and about 60 adult learning centers. All of these are new assignments now in the next while. Not all of them this year, but quite a large number of them this year. In terms of that's provided, in terms of assessment bodies, there's the private assessment bodies, the IED, the CHI, and the one in the wing is called Benchmark for adult education, that we're sort of jotting through the accreditation process. But with assessment bodies, we're very careful with accreditation. We don't just not a light touch, quite a, we really, really make them do it and do it into it until we have to before we allow them to take the final exam. So in case of the time, we have 2 years of final before we allow them to take the final exam. So the budget there is quite increased, up by about 3 million. And that's because of this new process that is rolling out. And in the next year, we're also looking at a provider conference around about March, which will be financial year. The final unit that I take care of is systems information and research. And the research budget has gone about 1 million rand. And there's quite a lot of projects. One of them is ECD, you'll be you know, because Great Ireland has now been included in the CAP officially, we've never really been involved with that edge, but we thought we should actually just investigate whether this is CAP area where we should get involved, so let's do some research. We're planning a research project around that. We've done a lot of work around language. I know that's the science of the thing, but Lucy has a passion, and it's passion in language. Language is the thing that we have to resolve if learning is going to improve, even maths and science. So we've done a lot of work around language. You'll find a number of reports on language on our website, and obviously we're going to continue with that. We are doing a project around item response theory, which has got to do with item banking and the development of pre-standardized items. We've been doing it since 2009, and it's focused on math and science. And we've been harvesting, you might say, items that we would consider to be socially discriminatory in those from the three exam papers, with the intention of using those in the adult matric as a benchmark for the adult matric. So it's another area, it's a new area, and it's a way of benchmarking the two exams or the two qualifications against each other. In addition to that, this particular unit has been assisting with the CAPS research, and they've been looking particularly at the assessment of the National Senior Certificate versus the CAPS assessment requirements. And that is a preparation for the end of year standardization, because remember, in certain subjects, in fact, the curriculum has changed substantially. One of those things has not changed, but incorporated paper 3 into paper 2, and so there's quite a shift, and we have to manage that standard and make sure that it remains anchored. So that's what this research is about. Another interesting project we do is on the predictive value of the national certificate. In other words, how well does it we go to university perform? And can we use, you know, how much someone rely on results when they need to predict performance later in the first study. So that's also one of the projects we're doing at the moment. So that budget is around about $1 million. It's not a lot. It's a kind of incremental sum. So I think that brings me to the end of my presentation.
Thank you, Chair.
For the purpose of expediency, I'll go through the rest until I hand over to the CEO to conclude for us. The next unit is the Public Relations and Communications Unit, where we ensure that the Public Relations Program and Communication Strategy and Plan is implemented. Part of the program looks at the all the public relations functions of council, as well as publications like our annual reports, our external publications and the publication of our research reports, as well as the management of our website and publications. That unit budget went up by 12%, and that's mainly due to the increase in administrative costs for travel, accommodation, and the like. The next unit, the governance, the Office of the Chief Executive Officer, ensures that the organizational plans are developed, implemented, and reviewed. It also ensures that organizational governance is in place in terms of all the acts, the relevant acts. And there we know we have the Public Finance Management Act, the Treasury Regulations, the Serious Development Act, our own act, the GenFedCo Act, and so forth, including ICT governance, as well as the management of stakeholder relations. That budget goes up by 13%, and basically again due to administrative costs. And we are quite fortunate, as I've indicated, that most of the members on our council and committees are from public entities, and it does save us a quite substantial amount in terms of honorarium that we need to pay. In terms of the Corporate Services Unit for Information Technology, this is the unit that ensures that the IT systems are established and are maintained and improved, as well as that we have a certification IT program. That means that once the provincial departments of education upload all the marks of the matric, for example, into the system, it goes then to the Department of Basic Education, and then from the department, those electronic data sets are then sent through to Umalusi. Umalusi would then validate those marks on the program, maintain the program system, and then print the certificates at the CETA Print Bureau. what those certificates are delivered to Umalusi, the quality assurance, we would quality assure them, and then send them to the various district offices where they then would be disseminated to the various schools, for example. And the same happens with the NGP certification that comes via the Department of Higher Education and Training. So all those programs we maintain in-house at Umalusi, so we have programmers who actually set, develop, fix, and print those systems for us. Budget of 7.3 million up to 8.1%, and that's mainly due to the high cost of the exchange rate sometimes for the hardware that we have to purchase. In terms of corporate services for finance and supply chain management, this is the unit that manages the accounting system and ensures that all staff get paid on time. Also ensures that our creditors are paid within the 30 days as required by the CFMA, and that supply chain management protocols are followed when we put out tenders and environment that we need. Building and security systems maintained and improved are included in this, and is up by 40% due to those additional posts which were approved by the council, and approximately 5.6% towards inflation-linked salary increments as published and determined by the Department of Public Service and Administration. In terms of human resource management and development, this particular unit looks at human resources and recruitment, selection, placement, training of staff, looks at performance management of staff, as well as general services like reception services and records management, in terms of storage, retrieval, and archiving of data. A budget that increased by 11%, and that's just due to the nature of the increased costs for the development of staff courses, and saying that has become quite an expensive commodity, so it's important for us to really look with eagle eyes as to how we spend money in that particular area. Our budget then went up from 110 million to 134.8 million share, a 22% increase. The next slide is a slide that just shows where Umalusi started in 2001, and we received our first grant, which was 11% of the budget in 2002. And gradually, you will note how the grant has increased up until 2013-14, when the National Treasury, together with the Department of Basic Education, agreed to top slice what was spent for certification and provided directly to Umalusi as a grant. And that gave us 51% of our budget for the first time. Going forward, we see that in the new financial year that we currently in, 2014-15, the budget is 134.8 million, of which the grant is 106 million, which is 79% of the budget. And kindly remember that Umalusi had to now utilize 10.8 million of its reserves to be able to meet that budget of 100. Going forward to 2015-16, and you see that is now in red, we have a budget of approximately 148.9 million. Now, we are currently in the process of finalizing those detailed annual performance plans for next year, which is 2014-16. But based on the forecasts that we made last year and the year before, so it's going to be 149.9 million. In terms of the baseline allocation to Malaysia from the National Treasury via the Department of Basic Education, they have approved a grant of 112.7 million, which is 18 million rand short, okay? Which means that the grant then drops to 76% of the budget. And it is our request to the Sport Forward Committee to support us in requesting that additional 18 million from the Department of Basic Education, bearing in mind we are aware of the cost containment measures that are taking place. But in order for Umalusi to do its mandatory work at this point in time, it will need 748 million. For 2016-17, the forecast is 167 million, of which the baseline allocation already approved is 118 million, which is 28 million short. Thus giving us a grant of 71%. And if one projects it even further into the future, can you imagine what's going to happen to the DVC grants? Noticing that we'll be seeing less and less of that grant. And we need to find a way to close that gap. And the plans and the focus of the work that we're planning to do in 2015-16 and 16-17 does not include any other work which may come to Umalusi in the form of agreement. So everything else that may come to Umalusi would be an unfunded mandate. So we would like support in this regard. Therefore, you see the increments, the incremental budget. 2013-14 was 110 million. It went up by 22% to this financial year, 134 million. The forecast for the next financial year is 148, which is 11% on this year, and 13% on 2016. Now, we do understand that CPI floats around 5.6%. But in reality, when we look at the administrative costs, how petrol has gone up, food has gone up, electricity, travel, accommodation has become quite expensive. Umalusi's major expenditure lies in travel and accommodation because we have to send people out into the field to go and monitor, to go and check the market, to go and verify. And that expense is an ever-increasing expense. And we'd like the committee to support us in ensuring that we are able to sustain the good work that we are currently doing. Sorry that I have to say it as CFO Chair. I now hand over to our CEO, Dr. Rapometti, to talk about the chances going forward.
Just in conclusion, I just want to highlight a few challenges that we have. I'm not going to raise challenges without indicating how we're trying to address those challenges so that the members can understand that we're managing the situation well. The first challenge is the white paper on post-school education and its implication on what I indicated earlier on. The minister demanded publish the white paper in January of this year. We have put at the white paper. It comes up with new positions, like the establishment of community colleges. We have to familiarize ourselves with what these community colleges are going to look like. We hear from the white paper that education in the post-school sector has to be multiplied. As we multiply education, we have to ensure that quality is not compromised. So we have to do that very seriously, so that the kind of graduates that we share out of the system are graduates of quality who are able to compete globally. Now, in looking at the white paper, we've workshopped the white paper several times in the organization as the management of Umalusi. We've also discussed the different strengths of the white paper with the outgoing councils, so that the outgoing councils have advisors on how to deal with some of the issues. And we're going to also discuss the white paper with the incoming council in this first meeting. And we are discussing the white paper with the sister organization in the HQS family, so that we are going to be managing all the issues that are raised in the white paper. The other issue that is worrying us, that is posing a challenge, is the strengthening of the margin process in the manner in which the chief operating officer has indicated. One of the elements of it is the comparatives of margin standards across different provinces, so like it's happening. The quality of markets. Now, the CFO has indicated how the budget has been increased to address the issue of marketing and how we continue to advise the department on what could be done to improve marketing. And I'm talking, I've gone to Asia, I'm going to Zimbabwe to look at e-marketing and how Zimbabwe and the Nations Council, the SEC, is implementing in our case. We realize also that as we are not an assessment body, but we cannot inform the German department, but the Catholicism is starting to say, how about this policy so that they are able to look at the situation and say whether Imaki would work for them or not. Just to illustrate a point about Imaki. A man could be sitting in Gauteng, and Imaki and Lena in the CGC, his or her claim, without knowing where that Lena comes from. The whole issue of bias to say that Lena comes from my province is removed. And in terms of the speed of marking, what happens is that where you take a 10 days to mark, maybe economics or whatever, with e-marking, it can take as little as 4 days. I can go on and on and on. So one of the officials, as we think, are also visiting the tech to look at how marking happens with e-marking. We also have challenged the proposed amendment and extension of the CST, where the amendment and extension, amendment in particular, when they constitute a new qualification, or is it still the old qualification? But if it is a new qualification because of the extent to which the amendments are, if they are beyond 50%, it has to be a new qualification. We have visited Canada with the department, we are debating all the issues with the department, and that matter is taken care of. We also have as a challenge the development of certification systems for new qualifications. So I don't know what the follows. That we are able also to standardize the data that we come from the assessment bodies with our own systems, so that whatever certificate we issue should be authentic. We are looking at the stability of the data, so that the data does not change from assessment bodies to others, that the certificate that we issue is authentic. Now, I want to indicate that we have adequate expertise to look at this humanity. And this is not a change mess, it's something that can be managed. Those are the few challenges that we have shared with, and I've indicated also how we are managing those challenges. Let me thank you, Honorable Chairperson Medina, Honorable members of this committee for the opportunity to present the UBAC's advisory review. I would like to express our thanks to former members of this committee. We worked with them for 5 years. Thank the Minister of Basic Education and the Department for their support in ensuring that the grant award is improved so that our mandate of quality assurance standards is achieved in South Africa, despite the ever-increasing cost of administration and travel costs. We look forward to working with the new portfolio committee on basic education under the leadership of Mayor Namalunga Nolkina. Thank you very much, Chair.
I'm sure the Department of Basic Education will probably be able to put in a bit more, but the CS certificates is now phasing up for the last exam this June, and the Minister said that it would end here, but there is a proposal on the table to revise it, so to speak, and certain because they also, you know, you try to learn in the system and collect credits in that qualification. And to leave them hanging is a problem. And the NAS isn't quite ready to roll out. So there's a kind of gap. And,
So it's around that. And we've been in discussion with the department around it, but there's nothing final on that point. Thank you very much. And if I remember well, we did get the translation towards the end of the day. They do have told the intention because we really, I just contacted, because I knew of that. Yes. To say that but it's fine, Honourable Ramo, for your confusion.
Thank you very much.
For once. Thank you. So let me open the opportunity for membership to express with the translation. I will start with you, Honourable Ramo, Honourable Pascal, Honourable Gonshaw, Honourable Mbuni, in that order.
Thank you. With respect to the mission quite last day actually, the concern about the mosque of the National Team Institute, the concern expressed by your previous chairperson last year that she said what a lack of standardization is possible. The mission today was by the CEO that there is concern about differences in controllances, etc. You are looking at various, things like demand. What is the next step? Surely Umaruti has the final say. I can't imagine it otherwise, but what is the next step? Because we as our have got to have in place a better system than we previously had, so that we can ensure that we are confident of every citizen that we use and has. So what is the next step to get standardization of marking, making sure that we have capable, qualified markers who should be writing properly to get to say that how is the community going to take that forward? And Chair, I wanted to also ask about the annual national test. Those are not well moderated, verified, standardized, whatever the word is. At the moment, neither in terms of the assessment itself, in fact, the Minister's Office admitted that you couldn't easily compare last year's annual national assessment to the previous year because of style and explanation was so different. Now, that's just concrete, and I think you should be able to compare literature whether you are using or not. And that's also necessary to the marking standards. So, how is the community involved in that? Currently, and how is the community going to be involved in that going forward? With respect to the National Senior Association, the Minister has overdue on her release about the various questions on that, and that's not for you to ask, I know, on her release of her Ministerial Health Senior Committee report on the National Senior Association. Don't forget that the word credibility, that you want to look credible to the kids. How is it, this is another concern that's raised by your previous chairman, how is it that women need to be allowed, can allow, can do nothing to prevent a certificate being presented to a child, for instance, who is in a school of technology, where he or she is required to do technology projects as pure math and pure physics? Can't go. And so ends up doing that technology, physical science, and that literacy. Last year, there were 30,000 learners who did that literacy with physical science. Your previous chair was going to say, those literacy said it should not be allowed. Now, how can Umaruti make sure that it is not allowed, not just that it's discouraged, but that it is not allowed? With respect to the physical learners, they're actually finding that before they if they get someone, or send them back to ACT colleges to start grade N again. It's just we are really failing our learners with respect to that. And then my last question here is please explain to me about the assessment of or quality assurance of curricula. I do not understand how you can quality assure a qualification without quality assuring the curriculum. Let me use the technical school as an example. In 2006, the curriculum was changed. The curriculum was changed. So something that is going to be changed again because it didn't suit the market at all. At all. Now, surely, if Omaruti had been involved, it would have said this is not going to qualify children to actually work in the technological market or the technical market. How can one quality assurance, the qualification at that child's age at the end, without having quality assurance, the curriculum that that child has gone to get the
on the quality of mankind. Starting not from other now as they are to see the Victoria on the memorandum discussions for one thing. And as we know already, we have discussed all about the statements, incorrect statements of teachers of that. Their attitude has not been right. Training these people for one day on memo discussion, do you think we are doing justice to the children? Number two, your concern on the kids, the extension of senior education. This thing is being extended. My problem is this senior certificate candidate are not used as different learners. They are on their own, they want to be in the field of work, they want a job, they don't, they fail because they are not being assisted. Is it possible to also to come and understand financially anything is added will be an unfunded contract. But it is possible to achieve this learner and quality. Another point is on, I don't know, it's what I thought that you achieve that that is a serious case in the United States. Of whom languages from 40% is one of them to 50%. Meaning that we are not studying own language educators. I guess this document in my office here to collect the information. So we want to read that document. I share that they gave me a lot of opportunities that I never already had. So I've got only good news when I was asking all of these children the I thought that when I was a twice taken in English, I thought that it should be in my paper. Most of them have got somewhere cannot cope with the mainstream, but then at least in the mainstream, and there is learners that you pass the they are being promoted and promotion, and somewhere they become dropout. At the end, when we analyze the results, we see why these learners were so many when they started grade one, but now coming to accident. Those learners are dealing with educators in our school. How can we assist these educators to cope with the learners? How can we assist those low learners of school from the time that the teachers more special on our African schools. They don't apply for when the learner is to be given more time during exam, being treated like a normal child, and this learner to not finish exam or to not get the necessary assistance because management are there trained to be there. So the children themselves don't help them. It seems that if we concentrate on exit and damage down there, that's already been done. How can we make the educators who are in between also to pull up their resources to be able to work harder at those educators who know that my results will be going up. I will account for my results. How can we be accountable? Because we have pushed the learner. There is no money challenge.
If I just get to ask the reserve for possible litigation, what is the previous litigation cost in our legacy? And what are the main litigation issues? And then, with regard to the challenges, what the last speaker also said is very important to me with emails, and it's something that I think we in the community should really take up and work with the department. Because it could eradicate and could speak in sense of the biases of markets, and it could also cut the cost. And extra money could be utilized for something else that is very important. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Another one.
Thank you very much, Professor. I think some of the questions have already been. Maybe I can get an explanation. You see, there's this outcry. Let's look at our standards and the standard that is done internationally. This issue of certificates, our senior certificate is low rated because it was stated. If you can get an explanation so that we are all in the same boat, are we in the right direction or we're missing the point on this 30% or just saying, let them give school. And this issue, I don't know whether I'm asking the right department, the issue of the recognition of prior learners, the RPF. But how is it done? Who does that? You said you only concentrate on exit. I'm coming to that thing, to that point. Are we not missing the part to only concentrate on the exit? What about these people for intermediate phases? I believe grade 6 is an exit point for a certain level of intermediate phase. Grade 9 is an exit point for the senior phase. That's what I believe. What role is Melusi doing on those? Because I have noted with concern. We have a problem with the skills of mathematics. We have a problem with the skills of home language. Hence, we've risen the bar to say, to pass mathematics, every child must pass, Jefferson, must pass mathematics. If the child has failed mathematics, the child, regardless of how many subjects, or whether, the child is passed. So I don't know whether we have an idea on the issue when it comes to person. Then, the problem, you see, the department, the president is so now. Spoke about job creation. I don't know whether I'm asking the right. The issue of job growth, where is the issue of job creation? Because I have seen when we're doing it, there are posts that have not been filled. And we do need jobs. We're talking about people who will be leaving school, might be coming in from FETs, might be coming from HR institutions. Where do we place them? As the department ourselves. We say, you know, other department must look for those kids where we will produce. Or we say, we also can play a part of the job creation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbuna. I also have a few to add on that one. Can you also know the role that you play in an national assessment? What is it that you do as a Malus, or you don't get in there at all, or the interest thereof? I think the issue of the other assessment at school again, like whether your SBAs, the roles that you play there. I'm very interested even in this one for these moderations that we get. You come and take, you know, the sample that they discuss. Sometimes, really, when you look at this thing happening, personally, I feel that it's not the assessment that needs to be done at that level. And I wish to know where do you get in. I am here because this is the Department of Basic Education here. Getting in basic education to monitor it. Yes, the subject advisors are there, but go down there to those schools, look at the teachers, the way, you know, a teacher hasn't got marked, but to take those samples because the department will be looking for 10 scripts. Just if you will only take those marks, it's something that you just cannot believe. So I just wish to know what's the role that you as a magistrate play there, and also from the department, as to say what can we do to tighten the bolts there, because I think we are somehow, some way losing it when it comes to those to cars, let me say so. You said you also have something to do with the introduction of African languages, the study. What is it that you can tell us? We know that it has been announced that those African languages will be introduced in schools. From your own study, from your own observation, what is it that you can say to Marcus when it comes to that? Also, on the side of examination, when you look at learners with special needs, especially with the blind ones and all that, what is it that you can say, the assessment, the feel that those learners have been at disadvantage for a long time? What assessment, what is it that you say with the exams concerning those learners? Can I just add on to Honorable Lausmore's question on this examination, the senior certificate? When are we seeing, when is the point where we are saying we'll be phasing off, we'll be phasing out this kind of examination? It might not be directed to humanities, but even in basic education this year, you can tell us as to say, how is the backlog, you know, how huge is it, when are we seeing us getting to an end, so that we only focus on the national senior certificate and the assistance thereof, the role that Humanus is playing then, senior certificate to those candidates. Do you only meet them now when they write examinations? What is it that you done? Another member has asked for the assistance, because for me, really, once we don't assist them, we'll never get to the end where we say we are done with those learners. I think I was very much interested and happy to hear that. I'm not sure whether you said the study that you have done, where you traced our learners, that the ones that have received our qualification and grade 12, what is it and how do they perform when they get into the tertiary institutions? Share with us what is it that you get there. That is the complaint that we always get from the institutions of higher learning, that whatever product they get from basic education, sometimes it's not up to scratch. If ever there is a study that we have done there, if you can just share with us and say how best then we can improve or not what you have got in the study. Okay, let us just stop there for now. We'll come back later. Yes, I promise I will.
Chairman, I'm going to start and the question will fit. I appreciate all the questions that the members have asked.
they're truly helpful. On the question that Honorable Lovemore is asking about marking of the National Senior Skill Date, we have the department in a presentation that ZIMSEC had earlier at Umalusi. The Department of Basic Education sent senior colleagues to Umalusi for a presentation. So that ultimately, we wish the department can have buy-in, looking at whether this will be beneficial for marking or not. That they have to make a call and make the decision. Umalusi can only encourage and show the advantages. Because it does not only really mean lighting the system, it means acquisition of ICT systems, the computers that are going to be used and hardware, and how they are going to be deployed throughout the country. As for the advantages, they are okay, they are there. But as for the cost implications for a country as big as ours, compared to Zimbabwe, I'm not sure whether the department will find the budget to do this. However, I want to honestly indicate that I'm convinced where I'm sitting, having listened to numerous presentations by ZIMSEC, that this is the way to go. The issue of the competency test for markers, Umalusi is on record as supporting the competency test for markers. We're on record and we will support it every step of the way. What we are doing also is that at the beginning of the year, we look at the strategies that Umalusi wants to employ to strengthen marking. Independent of us, the department also looked at how they can strengthen marking. And then when we met, we looked at the two and looked at how the two strategies complement each other. So we'll be announcing those when we talk about the state of readiness to say what have we done to strengthen marking throughout this year so that we ensure that whilst we don't have e-marking, but come the end of the year, we've got a much better system of marking. Chetason, your question and the question of Honorable Lovemore about our involvement in ANA, we are not yet involved. We are exploring ways in which humans could be involved in ANA in order to improve the quality thereof. As things stand, humans is not involved at all. Talking about the ministerial task team, I'll refer to the point raised by Honorable Lovemore. When I get to the question of Honorable Mguni about the 30%, I'll come back to that. The issue of heavy learners doing technical or science subjects without mathematics, I agree fully with Honorable Lovemore that we are saving our learners in terms of the advice we give to them, in terms of career possibilities and possibilities for further studies. A learner cannot do mathematics and science. There is no way. Get into a cul-de-sac. Same with technical subjects and mathematical literacy. That's leading learners into a cul-de-sac. So, something that the department has to pay attention to. What we do, like I said, at the end of each examination, we write a report to the minister. We highlight all the problem areas and we give recommendations on each. So these are usually covered in the reports to the minister. The quality assurance of curriculum is something that we do. There is no way in which you can look at qualification without looking at the curriculum. However, standard setting has until 2009 been the responsibility of power. Now, the understanding of the two departments in terms of our balancing role, in terms of looking at the curriculum, is not. The two departments are not on the same footing. We have arranged a meeting with the two departments. We are going to discuss at what point if a curriculum has to be revised, should we must be involved. So that even now, as we talk about the CAPS, we are looking at the CAPS post-hoc, after the CAPS has been implemented. And exactly the point that Honorable Lovemore is raising, that we're not supposed to be involved at the time when the CAPS were developed. So that we give advice at that point, not post-hoc. So we're going to be discussing this. We've got an appointment with our colleagues soon, where we're going to be discussing this. You want to add, Eugene?
Yeah, I'm happy. Okay, sorry. In terms of the technical school curriculum, we have something planned in the new year, not for this year, but for next year, in which we will be looking at the MCD in relation to the technical school curriculum, so that we benchmark it against the MCD, because it's not clear what the role of it, you know, I don't want to go into all of that, but there's a kind of a fluid situation around the MCD and technical education as a whole. So that is going to get some interest attention. Yeah.
Thank you, Eugene. I want you to proceed to the questions raised by Honorable Basson. That is true that the chief marker go to memorandum discussions and these last for a day. The chief markers are people that are deployed by the different provinces. They are very senior. They are specialists in their subjects. They go to national for memorandum discussions so that there is a common understanding on the approach to marking. So they don't have to spend a lot of time there because they are quite senior people. They then come back to the respective provinces to come and tell the markers on the approach that has been agreed upon nationally. So that is how it goes. The extension of the senior syndicate, I think the department will talk about that in terms of how the members are going to be assisted and how long the extension is going to be in terms of their proposal that they're discussing with us and whether that is feasible. The failure rate, Honorable Basson, in the senior phase to your chair is something that I'm not aware of in terms of the home language. It is something that you have to look at and maybe we'll give answers later. Do you know what's happening there?
I don't know a lot, but I do know that it has been up from 40% to 50% because it's one of the things that we've looked at in our evaluation of the CAPS. In evaluating the different phases of the CAPS, we've looked at foundation phase, we've looked at intermediate phase, we've looked at the senior phase now. We had to skip the FET phase because the FET exam is being written at the end of the year, so the senior one is one missing link at the moment. But ultimately, we're going to do a longitudinal study of this so that we look at what is the scaffolding between the different phases. And whether in fact the exit outcomes of each phase feed into the entry requirements for the next phase, and whether it's at that point of the scaffolding where the weakness lies. Because there is a huge dropout in grade 9. And it's not just in language, it's in math. Math is tragic in maths, actually. I mean, the ANA has shown that up, and we know that. So there clearly needs to be an intervention. And I mean, I know that the department is intervening, but I mean, obviously they would have to speak to this more quantity than we are. But that is where we are dealing with our analysis. And that will be all of that will be ready towards the middle of next year. So we will have a report for every phase, including a longitudinal report, which will say this is how they fit together or don't fit together.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Chairperson, in terms of, let me see, I was extension of senior certificate, senior field, okay. Chairperson, the question was raised by Honorable Basson around inclusive education and the mainstreaming of all learners. The argument advanced by the department is that these learners are going to operate in a normal society. So they must learn in a normal school with every learner. But the teachers should know how to do remedial work when these learners are leaving behind. They have to do that. And in terms of examinations, these learners, through their schools, can apply for concessions to say they cannot fight as fast as other learners, so they should be given a concession of maybe 1 hour extra or 2 hours extra for the examination. Please announce that. And in terms of us obviously looking at the exit polls, well, it is true, and that is in terms of assessment only. But in terms of curriculum, as you have indicated, we have looked at curriculum at the different phases with the CAPS, to say how does the CAPS look in the foundation phase, intermediate phase, and senior phase. So we cover the whole scope. It is only in 2030 where we assess the grade 12, we do the quality assurance of grade 12. Having said that, if you look at the research report that we have produced, even before the CAPS, we did benchmarking on the foundation phase with different countries. So that tells us that we are not only looking at the FET phase, we are looking at all phases, and we gave the mere advice to say, according to observation, these are the strengths of our foundation phase, and these are the weaknesses in the system. Our certificates have security features. You want to add in?
I just wanted to add to the issue of the white paper 6. I think the intent is to ensure that quality education is accessible to all learners, not just to some. And so the methods that we use to understand learners is not slow learners or fast learners, but struggling learners. So if somebody is struggling, that's a much better way of looking at it. We talk about barriers to learners. the reason why they are struggling is because they have such a barrier. And some of those barriers are intrinsic, such as low vision or hearing impairment, but others are extrinsic, systemic barriers. Teachers can be a barrier. Not having books can be a barrier. And nutrition can be a barrier. So I think that I think the department could probably expand on that, but the issue is that there are mainstream schools, that the CEO has pointed out, but there are also full service schools. And full service schools have greater resources than mainstream schools, but they are supposed to be a resource to the mainstream schools. And then you have special schools for those with a lot of intrinsic values. And as far as the Maluzi is concerned, as the CEO has pointed out, there are indeed special arrangements made and concessions made for us. So I just wanted to, I think the point that the Honourable Member made was, how are teachers being helped to do that? And I think that one has to recognize the challenges. It's easier said than done. Teachers don't want to feel they are social workers. I mean, there are a whole range of issues. But the creation of different levels of support does not only pertain to support for learners, but also to teachers. So when you go from a mainstream to full service to special schools, there are different levels of support to both teachers.
Thank you very much, Prof. In terms of the security of our certificates, we have included security features that cannot be duplicated by anybody, however, regardless of how professional it may be. And we are continuing to look at new ways of building in even more security features. Just to mention a few, when our certificates are held like a flight, you see an Maluzi logo at the watermark. Now, it's not easy for anybody at a corner shop to reproduce that. One of the things is that at the bottom of the certificate, you take a magnifying glass, you see Maluzi written throughout, across the borders of the certificate. We have a serial number that has been written with the ink that penetrates, that you can see from behind the certificate. The ink penetrates. And also, the letters in the serial number grow from small to big, you know, so that nobody can reproduce that. So we will continue to look at how we improve the security feature so that we are not overtaken by people who tie this and that and ultimately get to where we are. We are going to continue to be innovative. Yeah. We have put in the hologram. What is the hologram, Jerry?
It's a special feature which the corner shop cannot duplicate. And so it's a shiny thing that is put onto the certificate. And here, Chairperson, I must say, where we have a problem is when a candidate makes a photocopy of an existing certificate, then goes to a commission of oaths or to South African Police Services, alters the information on the photocopy, and then goes and makes an affidavit to say that maybe my certificate got lost or burnt or whatever the case may be, and then the police summarily just certify that as a true copy of the original based on the affidavit. And then we have fraudulent copies in circulation, not necessarily fraudulent certificates in circulation.
Just going on with the response, I'm going to respond to the question raised by Honorable Boshoff. It is around litigation that Maluzi has faced. So we have not faced any serious litigation. The potential for serious litigation came in 2012 when we were re-accrediting one of the assessment bodies, Assessment Rutgers for the Honorable Base. If they're taken up, you know, in the High Court up to the last point, we're going to incur a huge cost, but at some point, as we're changing the court papers, they decided that they're not going to pursue the matter further. They're going to be huge. So that's why we have not incurred any huge expenses on litigation. The question of imaging, I tried to respond to it earlier on. I think it covered the questions that you're raising. I'm going to talk on the question of On the question of the 30%, the 30% that Honorable Mbuli raised earlier on, that the issue of the 30% in that debate does not take into account the history that we come from. That 30% in relation to the National Senior Syndicate is as old as the Matrix Syndicate itself. And the Senior Syndicate, the Matrix, is older than 150 years. It's not something that is new. When you look at the old Senior Syndicate, the aggregate pass mark was 720 marks. And we had standard grade and high grade in the old Senior Syndicate. We don't have that differentiation in the new qualification. What it means is that a learner could obtain a total of 720 marks, regardless of how many subjects he failed, as long as he gets 720 marks passes. In the case of the new CJ, NSC, a certain number of subjects have changed. Three have been passed at 30%, the other three have been passed at 40%, and the three that passed at 40% have been to their home language. That makes it even more difficult to pass the national certificate as compared to the senior certificates. The question that comes is, what percentage of learners pass at that level? It is less than 1%. It is less than 1% out of submit. We have done the statistics and we realize that it is not a huge number that warrants the level of noise that is being made about 30%, 40%. It's only a few learners that pass at that level. It's a very small, and also the question is, in the instance where we don't have differentiation between standard grade and higher grade, how do you accommodate learners who have done standard grade, you know, in the new certificate? You have to allow them to pass at the lowest level possible, 30%, 40%, the subject, three subjects, one they can take. So we have to accommodate them. One of the things that we need to realize is the National Senior Certificate is not only for higher education, for learners who want to proceed to university. It is for people who want to be good citizens, who want to operate in our society, understand our complex society. It is for people who want to contribute into the world of work. Now, I always argue, and we'll see what the ministerial task team is going to come up with, that we can tomorrow say 50% pass mark for everybody. But the question will still remain, what is loaded in that 50%? It could be all low order questions. We have to get in the satisfaction that we have 50%, but that 50% could be the same as the 30%, the 40% that we have, depending on what has been loaded there. As a country, we have to take responsibility for learners who cannot achieve more than 30%, 40% in the manner that I've illustrated. They also need to show something to prospective employers and say, I've gone through the schooling system, and this is the least I could achieve. I want to be a teller at the cash bit. That is the debate. But Chairperson, we're waiting in anticipation for the outcome of the task team of the minister. Okay. Now, RPL, with RPL discussions with SAPWA and the other QCs, and Umalusi is going to use the NASA to RPL people who have been working, who have experience, who want to be tested to check whether they operate at the level of a metric. Because a metric, unlike bricklaying or electricians or electricity, with bricklaying you can ask a person to lay the brick and to check whether he can lay a rig, a foundation and build a house. But with a metric it's not easy. It has to be tested somewhat for us to have the currency of the certificate protected. The issue raised by Honorable Mgun about mathematics being required for all subjects. My sense is that it will depend on whether a candidate meets the pass requirements in the manner that I illustrated, 40% 30%. And whether the faculty that he wants to register in, it could be engineering, it could be medicine, it could be accounting, you know, it could be actuarial sciences, will demand a certain pass in mathematics. Otherwise, as a student who passes mathematics with a low pass mark can go into other fields that don't have mathematics as a prerequisite. We create jobs as humanists, we have employed people, but we can only go as far as our budget allows. We're always watching our personnel, non-personnel split. Our personal expenditure currently stands at 48%. The 52% is on operations so that we ensure that we turn out quality for the country. Because if we employ more people, they will not be able to do quality assurance in the country. Essentially, I don't know whether I'm leaving anything yet. Okay. Nagina, we are not involved in ANA, and we are in discussions with the department to check how we could be, involved. Now, the questions that you raised about SDA are common in all countries. We are members of international bodies, like the International Association for Examinations and Assessments, and the African Charter, which is the AEAA. When the papers are delivered in those structures, it is clear that teachers are not adequately trained as assessors to assess at the high level. It is clear that some teachers need to be given samples of question papers, of questions, to employ in SDA. But then the question arises whether we must fulfill the teachers or they should be trained to be able to assess at the required level. And also, when we listen to other countries, you can see, let me say, internal assessment, SDA, yes, that teachers tend to be more generous, you know. Talking about home languages, again, the home languages on the matrix certificate came the same weight. And as soon as we have done research to ensure that all languages, that the home languages we have in this country, are at the same level because they carry the same weight on our certificate. We have worked on that and we're dealing with that. I do indicate that the learners who need Braille write in Braille. The current papers are changed to Braille. And Umbalu has gone a step further that we have produced the certificates, copies of the certificates of learners in Braille, so that an individual learner having passed matric can also be able to read his own certificate, the symbols that he has obtained. The performance of our learners at universities, we are running that project, we don't have the outcome yet. We are partnering with a number of universities to check the learners that have passed matric to see how do they perform in the different fields. One of our partners is the University of West Baton Rouge and also the University of KwaZulu-Natal. We don't have the outcome yet. I don't know whether she with the colleagues whether I've left anything out. I have the colleagues free to come in. It is the exit point assessment. That there's been recommendation that there should be assessment at the end of the senior phase, grade 9. But the debate has been whether the country can afford that in terms of cost. But with the ANA now in place, it is possible because we are spending a lot of money on ANA. And whether we'll not be sending a message to learners whether they've arrived in terms of qualifications or not. When we issue our certificate at the end of grade 9, when we know that even at the end of grade 12, they don't necessarily get jobs even in the job market. Now, if we give them a grade 9 certificate, what message are we sending to learners when we know that even with grade 12, they don't easily get jobs? So that is the thing that is raging. We don't feature anywhere in terms of assessment in the lower phases. We can only do research and advise the minister in the manner that I've illustrated earlier on. The colleagues will respond from the department about the senior village chair. So you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me give the department to respond on the issue of this certificate. How long have you extended?
I thought it's not only that one. If you want us to respond only to
you can respond.
I mean, respond to all of them.
Yeah, just come and respond to all of
them. No, quickly, Chair, thank you very much, and Honourable Chair and members, and the Chair of the Council and the colleagues from Malus. Chair, just to touch on a few points. Well, we have acknowledged that what we have covered so far in the system, out of the five principles that are used to measure education performance universally, we've covered three. That is access, redress, and equity. We believe that we've made good progress. In fact, it's not said by us, it's said by many bodies, including outside bodies who are operating outside this country. There are two areas that we need to focus on for the current administration. In other words, for 2014-2019, and this is what the minister will indicate in the budget speech in next week. is the area of quality and efficiency. And this debate then is very relevant in that respect. And underpinning that is inclusivity, the issue that has been covered by Provolnik, in terms of learners with special education needs, to what extent are our policies translating into real practice on the ground? Because the policy can say one thing, but what happens on the ground is something else. And that we acknowledge fully. And then going forward, it's what we definitely going to focus on. So I also want to say, you know, the issue of e-marking is important. We must just be careful not to look at e-marking as a panacea to, you know, a very complex and multifaceted, you know, challenges in the system. As a sector, we are saying, indeed, e-marking is important, but we need to come up with a big basket of interventions that we can link to quality and efficiency. And e-marking is one of them. And in other words, we are saying, these are interventions that we can implement for the next 5 years, because piecemeal interventions cause immense instability in the system. They cause a huge upset. We'll have to come to this committee at some point to come and answer as to why have the results drastically dropped from one point to the other. We are saying we need to manage these interventions quite carefully, but we agree that emerging competency, assessment of markers and so on, are important interventions, but we need to identify them. I think we had identified about 4 to 5 of things that we think in the new administration must be implemented and must work out how we face in the implementation. The next point is around Anna. We must not forget that the main purpose for introducing Anna was really to drive improving quality of teaching and learning. In other words, the overriding objective of ANA is the assessment for teaching, not the assessment of teaching, which is different from, I mean, the NSC in the main is the assessment of teaching. And although there are elements of assessment of for teaching. Now we are saying we want to drive the improvement of the quality of teaching and learning through ANA. And it's for that reason that we even said it must cover grade 1 to grade 9, of course, leaving up grade 7 and 8. We've now included grade 7 and 8, and we'll be using that as a pilot this year. The report of the Ministerial Task Team is almost done here, and I think the minister is busy processing it through structures in the sector, CEM and so on. And I know that this committee will request that we come and do a presentation to it as well. And I think at that time, we'll be able to share details. Safe to say that I fully agree with what the CEO from Malusi has said. Remember, even the old certificate, I mean, many of us here, you had your certificate, which was delineated into A, B, C, D, E, M, and G. What were those percentages? You had even up to 25%. And today, you know, it's mind-boggling. You can't believe it. Intellectuals and all, they're forgotten about these things. But Dr. Ragumis is absolutely right. It depends on the rigor of the paper that learners write. More than every system is differentiated. I mean, I've looked at systems of other countries, you've got to say. I think if we have more time, we can even prepare a presentation to come and compare. Chair, we are, and I need to tread carefully on this one, and it's good that the media is not here. We are looking at the possibility of resuscitating discussions around GEPC. General Education and Training and Certificate. You know, it's still there in policy. But the Council of Education Ministers, I think the Dragomis are still an HOD and myself, when CEM said, no, leave this thing, don't come up with it, it will cause problems. The fact remains, nowhere in any country would you get all learners to go through an equivalent of the matric qualification. I repeat, nowhere in any country would you get all learners going through an equivalent of a matric qualification. What does it mean? There are those learners whose cognitive level and ability will never afford them to get a matric. And what option do you have for those learners? The very question that the CEO raised. And we said to CM, we need to be realistic because, unfortunately, and we are responsible for that, we have created an expectation in this country that all learners must get a matric certificate. And the truth is they will never get, all of them, a matric certificate. So we need to look at something, probably in between, around, particularly we're looking at the coefficient of grade 9, which will then give you a GCC. And I think the issue of special concessions has been addressed, so it's there, the policy, you know, caters for it quite fully. Now, the last point that I want to make so that Dr. Folia can also come in. You know, many times we use repetition and dropout interchangeably. And analyzing and working with the data on a daily basis, the two are drastically different from each other. What problem are we faced with in this country? Because of your huge accumulated knowledge and skills deficits, especially from your lower grades, the data seems to show that your dropout rate, because we are actually generating a system that's becoming violent, forcing all learners to go into matric and get matric, and some of them end up dropping out. Your point in the system that experiences the highest dropout rate is around grade 10 and grade 11. Not even the senior season, grade 10 and grade 11. But what you also experience in the system is that learners spend more than 12 years in the system, which means that learners repeat many times before they even attain the national senior certificate. Some of them spend 14, some 16 years and have indicated reasons. And ANA is beginning to assist us as to where in the system we should focus. And I think I'm quite an internal optimist, I'm even more optimistic with some of the interventions that we have implemented. And with the implementation of CAPS, I think I've heard Umar is saying that, I don't know why they have not said that today, especially the CEO, that with a clear indication of what needs to be covered in the curriculum, the phase, the grade, and so on, we're expecting that challenges that we have in the senior field, the anecdotal evidence, and by the way, this anecdotal evidence comes from interacting with teachers, interacting with teacher unions, also interacting with parents to a very large extent, seem to suggest that the system is likely to see some improvement going forward. Can you allow Dr. Pulia to just quickly touch on the issue of the backlog of the old certificate, etc.?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Before I touch on the senior certificate, I think the whole issue of marking, Honorable Chair, is really a major bugbear. And I just want to add to what Mr. Mwele has said together with the CEO, that the DBE does have a comprehensive plan in terms of the improvement of the quality of marking over the long term. And in a state of readiness report that we will present to the members, we will present that plan as well. But just to give you an indication, this time for the first year, we are doing an audit of marker appointments across all provinces to make sure that there's compliance with the CAM criteria. Secondly, what we're doing is we're going to place moderators for the entire duration of the marking at specific marking centers focusing on the key subject so that a DBE moderator can attest to the quality of marking in mathematics at a particular marking center in a province. What we're also going to be doing this year is to centralize the marking of small subjects. We are saying subjects where the learner enrollment is less than 1,000 would be centralized at particular provinces. And the whole e-marking issue is one we are also taking very seriously, working in conjunction with Umalusi, and we are currently putting in place terms of reference which will help us to procure the necessary software, hardware that will assist us. But I think what Mr. Whaley has mentioned is that quality in marking has to be looked at from various dimensions. But paramount importance is the competency of the markers. You can have an e-marking system, but if your markers are not competent, I mean, you're still going to have poor quality output at the end. And then secondly, Honorable Chin, and thank you for your time, the whole issue of the senior certificate, just to clarify, this has been in discussion for some time now, and the proposal in terms of the extension of the senior certificate was published for public comments, and we received comments from various stakeholders, and they were extremely positive. But the fundamental difference that needs to be highlighted in terms of the extension of the senior certificate is that the shelf, or the shell, the qualification shell, will be retained. But the curriculum that will support the senior certificate qualification will be the current national curriculum statement, or the CAS. So in other words, the criticism of relating to maintaining an old qualification do not run, simply because instead of a learner doing biology, if he wants to continue with the senior certificate, the learner will now be doing life sciences. Now, the point here is that until the NASCA is in place, I think as a country we will be in serious trouble if we don't have a qualification for adults. And I think, for me, that was the reason why it became imperative to look at the senior certificate in a revised format and to ensure that it caters for those groups of learners. But what the proposal also is suggesting is that learners take the NSC, they are given 3 additional opportunities after the grade 12 year to repeat the NSC, and if they do not pass after 3 attempts at repeating the NSC, they then follow the senior certificate route. You see, the senior certificate qualification is suitable for adults simply because it's a 1-year qualification, which makes it appropriate for adults, and secondly, it does not have school-based assessment component, and therefore it can be taken by adults. But obviously, the critical issue which you have raised is the issue of support. And we are liaising closely with the Department of Higher Education because obviously the adult learner is their responsibility and they will have to put in measures in place to support these learners. But what we said, Honorable Chair, is from the perspective of availability of material in terms of textbooks. Currently, learners taking the old senior certificate can't even find a syllabus. It's difficult to find a textbook. But if we use the National Curriculum Statement, there's an abundance of material. There are teachers that are available to support these learners. So support becomes more practicable in terms of its implementation.
Thank you very much. Why is just the clarify to us that when you talk of this senior certificate, it's a refined one now. It's not the senior certificate that we all set down for. So it's a new animal altogether that has been introduced. It's different from. Okay.
I think what we're saying is the qualification in essence remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
The curriculum is now the difference. I think that's the point that Umusi has raised. To what extent are we changing this to become a new animal or an amended animal? And what is the approval process is what we are managing currently with the Umusi.
Thank you very much. I know there are no questions on this, and I promised to open up for this. But mine is on this. You have just said you're in the process of processes of even of the software for e-marking and whatever. I was a little bit puzzled just to say, have you reached a point with Magnus where you now agree that this e-marking will be, you know? I thought you were still discussing and debating, and looking at the advantages and the disadvantages as one of the ways of intervening. Now, when you say as a tribe manager, even now in that process of procuring, you know, I was a little bit just that I didn't know whether it's something that has already been agreed upon now, you're discussing with it, if you can clarify if you want to.
I just wanted to say, I think in principle, the Department of Education is committed to Imaki. But obviously, it's a long-term process. And what we are saying is that the first step is to pilot the implementation of IMA. And I think that's what we are putting together in terms of reference with regard to how the pilot gets conducted, when it gets implemented, and how do we utilize the outcomes of the pilot so that we could then look at full-scale implementation. Because obviously, if one looks at e-marking, the change has to be gradual. And the biggest cost factor is the software and the maintenance of the software and technical support together with the availability of computers, which simply means that every marker now has to have access to a laptop or a computer. So what we are busy with the department at the moment is formulating the terms of reference around pilot relating to e-marking.
Thank you very much. Can I open up for further questions? Honorable Damo? Honorable Basan?
And I can also still meditate, but it, I mean, it is really, really worrying that in grade 9 you only get 2% speaking marks or literacy rate and 40% odd, numeracy rate and 40% odd literacy rate, and you get even 80% pass mark in, or pass rate in grade 12. The two just don't tie up. But, so that's really concerning. But my question to you actually is, are you legally allowed, because your mandate, as far as I understand, allows you to assess quality assure qualifications and curricula. This is not a qualification. The MA is not a qualification. So are you actually legally allowed to push this to get involved? Does this require a legal change for you to be allowed? And I can teach this chairperson in a concern that I have, and this is just say one policy. What is conventional and what I want to say policy. That the change last year should be applicable to the energy base, which means that if I failed grade 10 in 2012, in 20 years, and I repeat it in 2012, I have to be put through to grade 11 in 2013. I have to be put through to grade 12 in 2014. Which means that likely I will be sitting for a department or just doesn't allow me to write or whatever happens, but I could be sitting for an exam that I should actually not be writing there. By luck, things are done properly. We should see quite a big drop in the control chain. And I'm just interested in all of your views on that. Yes. educated to support the key sector of learning for learners, the general school. With the most of work that the teacher gets in the class, at the end, we will get that if the educators have not to such learners. And to say that is a special school, how many special schools do we have in our country? And how are they built? Think about that great learner from Springbok to Kimberley, about 800 kilometers in English, in a boarding school in a place around here, because that is not affected with your special school. I feel that if educators can be empowered and trained to deal with that manner, that will assist the education done to be they must do. Children to present to special and to each age can we say how we always get that those schools are full and we get us and not get
mine will be on this revival or reviewer of the GE to see that Western Mother spoken about. Of it, I'm very interested, and I think we're all interested. But the question would be, how should I put this? Is there any study that you are undertaking as the department when you are even thinking of reviving that certificate? Because for me, the certificate can be issued, but what is it going to mean to those learners? Where do you want them to take those certificates? Because without the certificate even now, the very limited spaces where they can get to is these FET colleges and all. So I'm just concerned just to say, yes, it's good. I know we're all happy when it started and it's still there, that at the end of grade 9 they need this certificate, but are there any other opportunities which are within that research? But I believe it's still a study that is still in a discussion. It's not that you have already arrived at that. I wish to know your thinking as to where your thinking is concerning that type of certificate. My goal is, you operate at two departments. How do you get funded by two departments? You also advise the two ministers for these two departments. But mostly I see the funding coming from the Department of Basic Education. Yes, I know it being paid, the certificate in the FET colleges, you do get the level there and all, but can you just tell us how do you go about being funded on equal basis by the two departments? Are we not seeing all the arguments that they have as the departments themselves to say what is it that they do? Lastly from me, how is your relationship, if ever there is any relationship between yourselves? They are all there to quality assure, to evaluate, because, you know, between yourselves as my youth, me too. I wish I can throw space in there. Even space. And there are so many others that do it. Because it won't ask us. I feel that there are so many of you who are doing one of the same, you know, who have got one of the same objective, but I don't see I don't share it where you meet and say what is it that the other hand is doing so that we bring all this together for the betterment of our system, you know. If you can just clarify for us the better relationship that you are having. Thank you.
Come in, Chair. The majority of the questions I directed the department I'll attempt to answer some, but can I start on imaging and say I agree with Mr. Mweli that imaging is good, it's not going to be a panacea for our challenges. And that we have to share carefully because the cost implications are huge. So you cannot afford to invest in something that you're not fully confident to work. But having said that, with imaging, the system is fed with a memorandum. And the technology say there is a feeding of questions and responses. Immediately a marker deviates from the marking memorandum, imaging will stop him and pay that to the attention of the senior marker. So that the necessary remedial measures are taken with the marker to say, go and train yourself on the memorandum. And then he's allowed them to continue marking. If he repeats the same mistakes, he stops again, up to a point where the system would recommend that he must not be allowed to mark any further. So that is a plus for us, but we have to take cautious here on to submit in implementing this because the implications for cost are huge. Now, in comparing the NC results with the ANA results, we have to understand that in the context of what Mr. Mweli said, that the two are different. The preparation for the NSC is different. You are taught throughout the year, and you prepare the examination. If you need evaluation come anytime, letters are not necessarily directly prepared for ANA. Not directly. And as to the purpose of the two, my sense is that NSC is for profession, into the world of work, into life, into job, whatever. But the ANA is for systemic evaluation in the manner in which NSC is indicated. So it is not easy to compare the two in terms of performance. Now, in terms of our mandate vis-a-vis ANA, yes, it is true that when you look at our mandate, it does not squarely fit the ANA. There may be amendments needed in our legislation. In the same way as non quality assure category. We don't, because it does not fit anywhere in our framework of qualifications. So we don't quality assure that as well. The issue of phase progression in the manner in which Honorable Lovemore has illustrated, I think what motivated the policy was that every learner has to be afforded the opportunity to study with his peer. You know, should not be 18 years old and still be in foundation phase. So that the learners who come grade 12, we don't have control over them because they'll be pushed to grade 12 by this policy. We will not have control over that. The people who graduated during the TBVC period era, the certificate, if you want the records, it should be the department. UMALUS is not a custodian of those. And UMALUS also does not even touch teacher education in all those years, Honorable Bazon. And maybe the department and SAGWA through the NLRD could provide information about what a person has obtained in those years. I will not answer the issue of inclusive education and extra support. Honorable Dean, where we threaded the two departments, at the point of the split, we got adequate funding that we had been getting before. In the manner in which Mr. Thomas elaborated, over the years we've been getting that much. So that our budget accommodated the work that we do for DH and DBE. There was no need to ask for extra funds. Having said that, last month we received a request from the Department of Higher Education and Training to submit a bid on some of the key things that we may be doing in line with what the white paper is saying. So we have submitted that bid, and we'll hear from them whether they are willing to give up additional funding to address some of the imperatives that the minister has come up with. We have submitted that bid to DHET. I think we are privileged to have Professor Volmeng, who headed NIDU, who is the founding CEO of NIDU, who can explain the relationship between NIDU and UMALUS. Let me pause here. Thank you.
I think from a start of UMALUS credits, it does not develop teachers or schools. So I think if we have that, I'm just trying to do this in this proximity so that, you know, so secondly, NIDU is there for accountability for development, not just in a peers have said that we're holding sacred, but say we're holding you accountable with the hope that through development you would move to self-accountability. Because you cannot police as being as us. You have to have, and then there's the third element that you mentioned, Chair, faith. Any profession, professionalism in any profession is determined by the extent to which the profession controls by those standards. And faith has to come to the party in that. They have to work on what they understand about professionalism and the standards by which we hold teachers accountable, but also how do we professionalize the teacher, which is a separate issue. And I think some of that came out today, as little as I heard. But anyway, Honourable Chair, that's in the interest of time, those to me are the sort of headline sort of distinction between us. But there may be other questions.
Okay, thank you, Prof.
Thank you very much. The issue of GTC is a matter that, as I indicated earlier on, was long discussed, debated, and I think referred before 1994. And the policy direction was that as a route that we need to follow consistent with international standards and consistent with practice even at home. I mean, you can even find it in your homeland, self-governing state. If you compare, you know, the performance, although it's difficult because you'll be comparing different systems, where you had external assessment in every point, it tended to improve performance generally in the system. It shows that the system is under very good stewardship, and there is this phase that what is externally assessed gets done in schools. And with ANA, at least, we've been able to bring that. Although many astute academics and intellectuals are warning us that we should not be sticklers of assessment at the expense of neglecting quality. And that signal is a very important signal for us as well. Now, I'm therefore saying there's information in abundance to tell us whether we're getting the right direction or not. Let me also say, and I'm sure the federal committee can also help me, the concern of CMN was that we're going to see an exodus of learners who receive this certificate and leave the system with the impression that they have all that it takes, you know, to make it in life, and not proceed to grade 10. That was the concern of CM then. But we are of the view that that shouldn't be a major concern, really. Because if you look at other systems that is there, learners still proceed to grade 10, those who want to go up to, you know, post-schooling level, they will pursue their studies until they finish NQF level 4. And this qualification that we are talking about will be NQF level 1. Because at the end of grade 9, they will then get a certificate which will be recognized and could still pursue other skill programs. It's a pity I don't have time. I would also indicate to you that the dressmaking might make a very good career for somebody who not get a matric certificate. And even welding at lower level would make a very good career. And these are some of the options. You know, a system that is highly differentiated caters for a large number of the population. At the moment, our system has been too narrow. And that is the problem. And that's why when people analyze the system, they talk about large dropout rates and so on, and indicated that the major challenge of the system is actually more of a repetition and dropout rate. But of course, at the end of grade 9, those who are unable to proceed, they do drop out. Now, the last point that I want to make is in relation to the issue raised by Honorable Lamo, which is a very important issue, fail once. Now,
I'm sure Honorable Lovemore refers to the national curriculum regulations that he issued and started implementing last year, which means that a learner must not spend more than 4 years in a lease. Now, I have to be honest at all times, but with the committee, even more honest. The policy has always been there. The only thing is that we have encapsulated this in regulations to make it more enforceable. In fact, we are lenient if we compare with other countries. Now, I've got data for me here. Britain, Japan, Korea, Ireland, Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark are countries that are pro-progression and promotion as against pro-reflection. Then I don't repeat that. Whether they meet the threshold to move to the next grade, they automatically move. The difference between us and those countries, they have strong support and remedial programs, which we don't have. And that's what the minister said we must look at in this 5 years. Come up with strong support and remedial programs to deal with the effects of the regulation. And Chair, Honorable Lovemore, through Chair, to put you at ease, there will not be a huge drop in grade 12. And one of the reasons are the following. You have immense interventions for grade 12. Then you've got your terms, the three terms. Now, if something has happened throughout, we won't be aware of the fact that that's not how you run the system. The system must almost be self-managing, self-running, instead of propelling, pushing learners throughout the system. But what I can say to you is that the national senior qualification is a 3-year qualification. It starts from grade 10. It goes up to grade 12. That's how you accumulate NQF level 4. And that's why we are emphasizing throughout the system. And that's why you see provinces being all over the place, making sure that learners are ready come, assessment time towards the end of the year. Yeah, I just thought that I must just share these two, 3 points.
May I, on you, just address the issue again, as we do feel that, in the song that raised on inclusivity, I think we didn't address it. I think it's a long discussion. It's clearly something close to the honourable member's heart, at least to mine. But I just want to say two things. That is that ideally all schools should be full service schools. They should be. That's the aim. But to get there is going to take a long time. One has to accept that. Secondly, there is for me a moral issue, and that is this issue that Umalusi accredits only independent schools. The other schools are deemed accredited. This is a huge problem for me. It has always been something. That since twice myself, it really is something that I'm struggling, because all it does is ensuring that the best schools are for private but not for public. And at some point we have to confront that. Lastly, this whole idea of support is the end of what they call fears. You start with screening and you end with support. But unless you're equipped to do that, and you have the tools to do it, you don't know what kind of support.
I see everyone is tempted to say something here today.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
I just wanted to add, in terms of the honour and the responsibility of Umalusi, I think that question has come up quite often. I think what we need to just understand is that when the President announced the implementation of ANA in 2011, the President also indicated that there should be an independent institution that must conduct the verification of the ANA data. I think that's something we have done in 2013. What we did do was appoint an independent service provider that conducted the annual national assessment in 125 schools across
all nine provinces. And that data was then collected. The scripts were marked independently by the agent. It was then collated. And we then compared the data coming out of the independent process with the data that the Department of Education had taken responsibility for. And we found that there was a close correlation. And if you look at our report for last year, Honorable Chair, we presented both the universal, that which we call universal, which the DB had taken responsibility for, and the verification data alongside each other to show that there's a close comparison, which then adds some veracity to the data coming from the universal banner. The second point to do with the learners coming from special schools. I think from an exam perspective, we are also promoting that the whole issue of concessions should be applied from as early as grade one. In fact, what we are getting provinces to now do is to register learners together with the concession that they are entitled to based on the screening and the assessment that they would have gone through. So that it's not only in grade 12, but the question arises, what happens to the learner throughout the other grades in terms of assessment and in terms of teaching and learning? And the last one, Honorable Chair, is with regard to teacher records. Just to confirm that the Department of Basic Education is currently the custodian for the teacher records. We've managed to collect the teacher records from all the ex-departments. We've also converted a large percentage into an electronic format. So it is available, if the Honorable Person could possibly make contact with me and we'll see whether you could assist with making available a copy of the certificate that you are struggling to retrieve.
Thank you very much. We have made Honorable Person smart. Thank you for that. Now, thank you very much for the presentation and the interactions from the Honorable Members. You know, I need to commend you, Honorable Members. You have been seated here listening, interacting for almost 8 hours. But you are still very much sharp, and, you know. So, I need to thank you on that one. Omarusi, thank you so much for the good report. You didn't get any complaints from these members who are very good in doing that, but I think your presentation was good and elaborated. That is why you could get so much interaction from them. Department of Basic Education, thank you ever so much. You know, we're always in this journey together. Hopefully, we're still going to be traveling for the next 5 years together. Hoping for the good relationship that we always have with you and your mom. With the correct CEO, we need you as the other program. After we finalize the program, we are going to be conducted yesterday when I'm coming back because there are still a lot to be done. This one we're just having for our budget round, but it's still need very much from you after the agents conference. So we'll step on the conduct for the program. Otherwise, thank you very much. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy the cold weather in Cape Town. Yeah, thanks. Oh, now remember, please don't forget to wait for me. I'm going to have a